Let's start. So as Patty was announcing, Zehayom kivinu lo nagilo v'nismachavo, finally we're going to meet Ezra. After all of this time, the man who the book was named after, first pasuk in Perek Zayin, v'achar advirim ha'eru b'malchus achar tachshta melech pras, Ezra ben Saroya ben Azariah ben Chilkiyahu. Keep on going. Next pasuk. Ben Shalom, Ben Sadok, Ben Achituv. Wait, there's more. Ben Amaria, Ben Azariah, Ben Marayos. Wait. Ben Zarach, Ben Zerchaya, Ben Uzi, Ben Buki. Ben Avishu, Ben Pinchas, Ben Elazar, Ben Aaron, HaKohen, Harosh.
I miss Buki.
Feelings is mutual, I'm sure.
Aramaic.
What?
Are we in Aramaic?
No, we're not in Aramaic. We're out of Aramaic. We're done for the book. No more Aramaic. This is straight Hebrew.
Maybe I'm looking the wrong thing.
Right, chapter 7. And all of a sudden, finally, Ezra, who is the son of Sariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Chilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Tzadok, the son of Achitov, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Beriel, the son of Zerachir, the son of Uzi, the son of Bukti, of course, son of Avishu, ben Pinchas, ben Aaron, ben Aaron, ben Aaron, Arosh. Here he is, quite an introduction to the man we've been waiting for. Let's start with number one in the source sheet, which asks us the obvious question of, hey Ezra, what took you so long?
And also, why does he get such a...
Well, you wait that long.
Such a lineage.
When you don't show up until the seventh parak, right, in a book that only has 10 prakim, and it's named after you.
Got it.
We have here an interesting, I found this in a very nice sefer. It's actually a teacher's guide to teaching
Ezra,
Nehemiah, and Chagai and Zechariah Malachi. It was put out by Michala.
The seminary?
That's the one. Very kind of them. So,
alma mater.
What? Jenny's alma mater.
Right. Go Rebel.
Right. So again, it's
bluebirds. You know.
So every so often, right, it makes a nice point. In the fourth side, v'sheishas haprakim arishonim shal sefer Ezra ohuska shmo shel Ezra. In the first six prakim of only 10, Ezra's name was not even mentioned. Alpha pisha sefer kulo nikra al shmo. Now, also note that according to the official Gemara list of books, Ezra is not only the name of the book of Ezra, but Ezra is also the name of the book of Nehemiah, right?
Does Ezra appear in Nehemiah?
Not at once.
Okay.
Right? So the question is that here, between two of them, he shows up in Perek Zion, he's gone by the end of Yud.
So why is he...
Where else do we have somebody with a book's named after him, but he really isn't there for most of the book?
Shmuel.
Right? Afa Kol, who was here for a total of two prakim, right?
Well, she was there.
Well, it should have been David. Who was there for the book. Af Kol HaSefer, Af Shmuel Beis. Right? He does not appear once in Samuel 2, and yet he gets it named after him. Nikram b'shmo shal Novi shed bi'as chot tamo shal hatkufa kula b'chayv la'achar boso. That he, in fact, was the seminal figure. He was the person that was around. He was the one who was responsible for everything that happened. Right? This is the Shmuel who, in fact, brought Shaul to the fore, then he brought David to the fore, right? Even though he wasn't here for it, he was responsible for it. So that's the argument regarding why Shmuel is called Shmuel, even though Shmuel's not there for most of the book. So he said, so too it would seem also his argument here is that Ezra also is the key character here. We'll have to figure out why.
Right, we're not there yet.
But it's the same idea. Kedai v'asim lev gam v'psicha shal perek zayim achar adavrim ha'eila. What were the open words? And it was after what happened?
Well, we've had these letters and we've had these building, not building.
Well, my translation says after these things.
Well, see, that clarifies it. Now it's clear. Now it's clear as mud. Kavanasso shal psicha zu einena behechrech sheyish kan hemshech yashir Masuper beperek vav. It doesn't mean that there has to be. It indicates that it sounds like there's a direct connection. Shekein Chanukas Habayis Hashini v'Chagigas HaPesach she'acharei hoyu b'shnas sheish l'me'arach dayavish. Now, what happened at the end of the last time? We inaugurated the Second Temple, and we had this gangbuster Pesach celebration, right? Correct? And then Pesach wasn't by Gimel Adar. We waited until mid-Nisan for that one, right? That was in the sixth year of Dayavish. Yilu Ezra Ola Le'eretz Rak B'Shona HaShvich L'Melech Achar Tashta. Kizachor Melech Dayavish Shoshim V'Chamishim V'Chamish Shanim V'Achar Melech Achaz Veros Esrim Shana Aliyas Ezra B'Shona Sheva Achar Tashta Ha'isa Efo 58 Chamishim V'Shmona Shanim Achar Chanukah Sabayis Tashemi. He says, arguably, there's a 58-year gap between the last parak and this parak.
Who says this?
Yeah.
Number one. Right? Meaning this book, right? The book that we call Shiur B'Mikra Madrich Amora B'Beit Sefer HaMamachti Dati.
And how do they know this 58 years?
He does the math. He just does the math. He says that the first thing happened in the sixth year of Darius. Darius was the king for 35 years. Achashverosh was another 20 years. And this was in the sixth year of the king after that. What? That's a good question. But there's a lot of questions on these numbers. Mikan Shebein Amoros Amutuar B'Perak Althi Vav B'Sefer Ezra Hamitam Shrim Al Pnei Esrim Var B'Shona Bein Sipar Aliyaso Shal Ezra B'Sefer Yehuda P'Yosu B'Freidos Kishishim Shana B'Chol Zos Kino Chazos Akufa Kula Yemei Ezra V'Tzirfu Yashtei Chativo B'Sefer Ezra Kasher Shiva Sion Hiyanose Meshutav V'Tkufas Kula. He said, even though that there might just might have all happened over a long period of time, the bottom line is that this all happened. This is all the same story of the return to Zion. I mean that even though this doesn't all happen at once, it's all related in that way.
And what's the 60?
That 58 is about 60 years, he says.
Okay, and the 24 years?
They said that the first part took 24 years.
I see.
And now this is taking an additional. This is additional that many years later. Chishivuni to'umim es hamechar historia ha'makubal v'arohochim tam b'shitas of Zerachia Halevi. He said that we are following now the opinion of Zerachia Halevi. Lafia medras ha'mezayah es achatashe im da'yavish. Who kars ha'achatashe who's da'yavish? However, according to the other opinion, right, there is definitely an opinion out there. Remember that there are different opinions as to how many, this goes back to last summer, of the there is a difference in chronology between the Gemara's chronology and the historical chronology. So he said, according to the Gemara's chronology, it actually happens the next year. You don't have this gap.
Well, it depends where the gap takes place.
Well, again, we're not going to get into it. Well, so he says, therefore, Ola Ezra Kishna Achre Chanukah Sabayis Shekein Habayis Nishon Megimol Abad. As we said, Shal Sheish L'Dayavash, Shal Efri HaMedrash Hu Achar Tashto, the Ezra Ola B'Chodesh HaKayit Sol Shona HaShev Ola Achar Tashto. So if you tell me that Dayavash and Achar Tashto is the same person, one happened in his sixth year and the other happened in his seventh year. Masha Baruch ki lefi shtei shitos lo hishtatev ezra bin hamikdash v'lo nochach v'chanukhasam. Whether there's a big gap or not, he says, doesn't really matter that much. Just according to every opinion, the Beis HaMikdash was built and off and running at least a year before he came. So Ezra really had
a year before Ezra comes.
Right. I mean that Ezra, according to everybody, had no hand
in the building.
Correct. Rav Schwab gives the following introduction here. We now learn of the second Aliyah, the one led by Ezra. Although Koresh's call to return had been issued some 23 years earlier, Ezra remained involved to be with his prime teacher, his Rebbe, Baruch ben Neriah, the foremost disciple of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Baruch had a yeshiva in Bavel and was a repository for the entire, that should be Torah, right, written and oral Torah. He was the primary surviving link in his transition from Sinai. Those words are out of order.
Okay.
At the time of Koresh's pronouncement giving the Jews permission to return to their homeland, Baruch was too old and frail to travel, and his students did not want to leave him. By all calculations, Baruch must have been well over 100 years old at the time. Therefore, Ezra, his foremost disciple, and Ezra's followers did not emigrate to Eretz Yisrael until after Baruch ben Neriah's demise. Notwithstanding that the Beis HaMikdash had been built and was functioning, the Talmidim stayed with the Rebbe, consciously foregoing the celebration of the building of the Beis HaMikdash and its Karbanos offerings, probably even including many Karbanos Pesach, in favor of learning more Torah from the Rebbe Baruch ben Neriah. This can be understood in light of the fact that in those days, before Torah Shabbat Tel was committed to writing, the Rebbe was the source of the entire Torah. As long as Baruch was alive, he was in possession of the entire uninterrupted chain of the transmission from the Torah from Sinai. He thus was the most precious national treasure that the Jewish people possessed at the time, more precious even than the Beis HaMikdash. Ezra and his closest Talmidim therefore remained with him to learn whatever Torah they could still garner from him as long as he was living. It's only after Baruch's death that Ezra and his court, the pupils and the followers of Baruch Neriah, left Bavel to come to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Schwab is just saying here that, yes, he came afterwards, but this was a conscious decision that he made because based he, in fact,
teacher.
What?
Based on his teacher.
Right.
What's amazing about this, especially in light of later Jewish history, that he's a Kohen, and yet he is choosing to forego the temple service.
That is correct.
To spend time with the rabbi.
Even though he was probably in line, he probably would have been a potential Kohen
Gadol.
That's
an amazing thing.
Right.
So, why wouldn't Baruch have moved?
He was too frail to travel, I think, is what it says. Right? In simple English, as Marsha would say.
In plain English.
Plain English, sorry. Right? That's what it says. So, there we have it. There is a gap, maybe a year, maybe a lot more than a year, depending what you're following. And at this point, Ezra finally comes. Why wasn't Ezra here until now? Ezra was not here until now because he had his Rebbe, who was not able to travel. The Malbim, in fact, points out, B'malchus ha'chatash v'das Rashi api chazel huda yavish ha'niska l'mala v'alias Ezra shnas acher ha'binyan. So he says the same thing as we said earlier, he just says it simpler. According to the opinion that we follow in the Gemara, that Acher Tashta and Dayovish were the same person, there's a year from the sixth parak to the seventh. L'das Rav Zachia Levi, Haya Melech Acher Shemolech Acher Dayovish, the king cause of Haradach, Mesov Chagai, Lefiza, Ola Ezra, Zman Rav Acher Zeh, Yishma Deos Rabbos, V'yavshel Acheria. So this might be 1 year, it might be a lot of years, right? That's what we are discussing here in the introduction to number one. He says, I don't know which one's right. The Malbim just kind of shrugs at this one. I don't know really which is the correct chronology. I'll just tell you them both.
Is there any sefer other than maybe Ezra in Tanakh that has a gap that large between two different chapters?
Yeah. What?
Does it?
I mean, whatever. We had in Parshat Chukos, we had a 38-year gap.
That's right. Okay. Fine. So it's very possible that it's a...
Right. Right. Not unheard of. Not unheard of. Right. We just had one not so long ago.
It does make the gap has to do with Ezra's Rebbe. 58 years, he'd have been a lot younger at that point. So.
Right. Again, if it...
a thought. He could have...
Right. The question was, okay, Baruch at this point is so old. So again, the problem is we don't really know how old Baruch ben Neriah was.
Got it.
Right? Well over 100. So that's 150, so the guy was 92.
Well,
you know.
Or he wasn't 150, he was about 100, and he could have come when he was 50.
Right, depends. Depends which the number was. We don't really know. Playing on what the Maxwell just said, the Gemara actually based the point. Amar Ravi Tamer Rav Shmuel Bar Martha Gadol Talmud Torah Yosem Ibinyan Beis Hamikdash. Learning Torah is more important than building the Beis Hamikdash. How do we know? Shakol Zman Shabarach Ben Neriah Kayim Lo Heinicho Ezra Va'ola. Exactly what you said.
Here?
What
is this? Where we
right?
It from?
He says that the fact that he would not go. So the Tori Evan actually asks a question on that. And says, Gadol Talmud Torah Yosem Ibinyan Beis HaMikdash, Kol Zman Ksevet. Kasher Lahavin Akati Minori She Gadol Talmud Torah Ibinyan Beis HaMikdash, Demash Gulen Hein. Who says it's greater? Maybe they're equal. If it was equal, right, so why would I stop learning Torah to build the Beis HaMikdash? I'm not gaining anything. I don't really know that Torah is greater than the Beis HaMikdash. I just know that the Beis HaMikdash is not greater than Torah, but they could be equal. So the answer is no, the Torah was greater because it wasn't. Had he gone to Israel, not only would he have built the Beis HaMikdash, but he also would have made Aliyah. And that it's also a mitzvah.
Right, and he could have been the...
Right, so you put that together.
That's kind of a biggie.
Very interesting. So this is our first time meeting Ezra, so we have to take an opportunity to introduce ourselves to Ezra. We never met him before. Seems to be a nice fellow and all, right? So if you look at the Gemara in Megillah, the Gemara makes a very fascinating statement. Amar Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, Malachi ze Ezra.
Well, that's interesting.
Now he's got more books named after him. So
I'm sorry.
But there were three prophets who came over, Zechariah, Haggai, and Malachi.
No.
You're saying that Ezra is Malachi.
Chachom v'ovim Malachi shmo. Yeah, that was his name, in fact. Amar Rabbi Elkan, Mistaber command Amar Malachi ze Ezra. So this is a machokis. The Chachamim seem to say, no, Malachi is Malachi, Ezra is Ezra. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says, no. So Rabbi Nachman says, you know, I agree with Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. I think Malachi is Ezra. Zibin Avias Malachi, Bogda Yehuda, Vetoeva, Nasab Yisrael, Yushalayim, Kichil, Yehuda, Kodesh Hashem, Sha'av, Ubal, Bas, Kel Nechar, El Nechar. Ezra. So you look at Malachi. Malachi goes and he speaks strongly against intermarriage. And who is the person that we see fight strongest against intermarriage? Ezra does. So they're both giving this. They're both singing the same tune. So we have a machlokas here whether Malachi and Ezra are the same person or they are different people. According to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha and Rav Nachman, they're the same person. The Chachamim, though, say not that way. If you look at the Targum on the first pasuk in Malachi, it says, Maskal pekama da Hashem al Yisrael biyad Malachi, the Yiskarish me Ezra Safra. So he says, if you look at the Targum, it says, yeah, Malachi, he is Ezra.
Now, who is Yonatan?
Who is Yonatan?
Targum Yonatan.
So yeah, there are different Targums out there. So one of the well-known Targums is called Targum Yonatan ben Uziel. He is the person who brought that Targum to us. A Targum is an Aramaic translation of the verses. So like some people like you, you're not that familiar with the Hebrew, so they give it to you in Aramaic, so it'll be easier for you.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. Simple Aramaic, as we say.
Plain. So is that like what Robert Alter did with the...
No.
Okay.
So, the Abarbanel, in his introduction to Malachi, deals with this question. Are Malachi and Ezra the same person or not? Master Dvar Hashem, Yisrael b'yad Malachi, ad avahavti eschem omar Hashem. B'perakam v'gimla zachru deyas mihoya navi hazeh Malachi. He says that in number 6, we discussed who is this Malachi fellow. Vain Tainus from Nachman Esli Muchrachas. He said, I don't buy the arguments that they're the same person. And why is it that only one person could go and speak out against the fact that there's intermarriage?
Right, you can have 6 people.
Right? כל שכן שמצינו במלאכי הוכיח על דבר באחרים שלא זוכר עזרה, כי הנה מלאכי הוכיח על כל הסקוני ביוסטר מבזים את השם ומגישים על מזבחו רחם בגול והוכיח לישראל על מסוס וטרומוס שרואים ליוסטר קרוי. מלאכי's got a lot of other things to say. He's got issues with the Kohanim. He's got issues with the people that they're not giving charity properly. ועל שאר דבר מהכפירס בנבורסו זאוס. Ezra. He says, therefore, I don't think it's the same guy. Just because one topic they both spoke about, that doesn't work. So he says, Kol Shekin Shekasav Kari as Ezra HaSofer. We talk Ezra as Ezra the scribe. No one ever calls him as Ezra the prophet. And given the choice, if I could be called the scribe or the prophet,
I'd go for the prophet.
So this means Ezra was not a prophet.
Always going for prophets.
I am.
Yes, there
so
you have it.
Ezra was not a prophet.
Right, well, it seems to the fact that they referred to him as a scribe, right? If he was a prophet, you should have called him a prophet. What? Right? V'nezeh achsho shelo haya malachi Ezra. Avol novi acher nikra malachi kedas chachamim shu nachum. And after all, that's what the chacham, that's what the majority opinion is. So I'm pretty comfortable saying that, the Abarbanel says. He has betchilas habayis b'ibanasam, but malachi b'sofa binyan, ol achra miyad. So also they weren't living at the same time. But Ezra comes at the beginning of the when it is first constructed, right? And there's other things still to be done. Malachi's much later. Right? During Ezra, the building is still going on. Malachi does not talk about the building. So therefore, he says, "Chen Yirshlo Hayushlos to Bizman Echad Ki Chaga Yakodem Habinyan, right? Malachi Acher Habinyan." So the bottom line is, he says, "No, absolutely not." The Abarbanel rejects the idea that the Targum has that is raised in the Gemara. He does not think that they're the same person. Very interesting. If you look at the Rambam does not talk about it directly, but you can get a pretty good idea. Right, the Rambam, in his introduction to the Mishnah Torah, he lists off who are some of the members of the Anshei Knesset HaGadola. And he writes, V'chein nishach adover ad Anshei Knesset, V'heim, Chagei Zechari Malachi, V'Daniel, V'Chananya, Mishal V'Azariah, V'Ezra Sofer, Nechemi Ben Chachliye, U'Mordechai Zerubbabel Ben Shaltiel. What do you note about that list?
That one is a Sofer.
What? And Malachi are in the
correct. Story. Both Ezra and Malachi are both listed on the list as different members.
Right.
So if they were the same person, he probably wouldn't have listed them twice. So the Rambam seems to be following this as well, and assuming that Ezra and Malachi are different people.
Would this also suggest that they were contemporaries and there was not a 58-year gap because they're all hanging out in the same club?
Well, so no, they weren't necessarily all there at the same time.
Okay.
But 58-year gap would not be between Malachi and Ezra.
No, but would there be the 58-year... Is he listing these in chronological order? Because if so, Mordechai appears after Ezra.
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay, fine. He's just,
Mordechai also appears after Malachi, you know, which is clearly
he's
not
he's just true. Giving names.
Right, this is just... Right, Chag and Zechariah Malachi, they always go together. Like Mo, Curly, Larry.
Should take something in only Ezra's...
Yippee, Yappy, and Yahooey, you know, just... Right. There's certain people, they just always list them together.
Ezra's the only one that's listed as a Sofer. I mean, no one else seems to be listed as anything.
Well, who else had a name? Like Mordechai HaYehudi? Like, what are you going to put it down as?
I'm just saying.
What?
He's the only one.
That's how people have heard him.
Okay. So
The Radak, however, in the beginning of his commentary, Malachi writes, Razal Amru Malachi Zeh Ezra, V'lo Matzanu B'Shum Mokum Shro Navi. Ella Ezra HaSofer. So he also says, I never hear him called a Navi, he's always called a Sofer. Apirish El Yisrael Al-Chicham Al-Ma'aseyem Ki Hador Ha'olam Mibavah Ha'yu Ruba Ma'chzikim V'ma'asim She'inam Tovim She'yu Nosim Noshtim Nochiyus K'mo Shal Chicham Ezra B'zeh V'chei Marachi Al-Chicham B'zeh K'mo Shal Uval Bar Bas El Nechar V'chein B'chiru Shabbosos Ha'yu Nizhar M'dvar Ma'chreim K'mo Shal Kostav V'sefer Ezra. Right, so he seems to be assuming probably not. Tosfos, however, is very clear in saying that he believes that they are the same person. Looking at number 11, right, when they ma consul Leviim b'maisa kaimalad Malachi ze Ezra, that is what we hold, that Malachi and Ezra are the same people.
Is there anyone else in Tanakh where we think they're the same people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Eliyahu and Pinchas.
Oh.
Arguably, might be the same people.
I'm based on the Abarbanel and the Rambam. It seems to me they're separate. I mean, I hear that there's an.
That's their argument. Yeah.
Okay.
That's,
so, do we just get to choose what we think?
I mean, what do I care at the end of the day?
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
That's
this is.
That's a good argument
Saint Pinchas
too.
Who's in this lineage?
What?
Eliyahu would be the same Pinchas from this lineage.
Correct. So,
okay.
So that's one major issue we have regarding Ezra. Is Ezra Malachi or Ezra not Malachi? That is a machokas in the Gemara, and we see it's a machokas even in the Rishonim. The Rambam seems to say no, the Abarbanel says no, and Tosfos says yes. So, that's a machokas.
So when the Tanakh was put together, Ezra was categorized in the Ksuvim, not in the Beit.
Correct. But again, the argument would be, because this is a story, he doesn't actually prophesize in this book, as opposed to his prophecies going to the Nevi'im. And that would be the argument why there would be two different ones.
But his proper name would be Malachi?
What? His friends call him Malachi. You can call him Ezra.
You can call him Bill. Why would his proper name be Ezra? That's opposed to Malachi.
Right, that's what I mean.
Right, so.
Apparently, it's 61 and it doesn't matter in the end.
Right, there isn't a major difference between this. The next major issue actually comes up is Ezra was a Kohen. Yes? Kohen Gadol?
No.
Why not?
Well,
we haven't gotten to
him yet. Right. So far he's not.
Well, so it's interesting because we read the first, right? The first five psukim together, right? The first five psukim could have just as well been one pasuk.
Right.
Right. All the lineage.
Correct. And what's the very end of it? What are the last words in the fifth pasuk?
Son of Aaron, Aaron the chief priest.
What's the last words?
Oh,
come on.
Right.
Kohen Harosh.
But it seems that
well, that's what I can't. What is a Kohen? What? So, generally, it's an interesting question that comes
the
up.
Head priest.
If I say I say someone's name is Yaakov ben Shimon HaKohen. Who's the Kohen, Yaakov or Shimon?
Both.
So, right? Generally, both. Funny how that works out, right? What if Yaakov marries a grusha, and then they give birth to Shimon, a divorcee,
okay.
Right? He's a halal. So I call him up to the Torah. They call him a Yaakov ben Shimon HaKohen, or Yaakov ben Shimon.
Just by his name.
Come on down.
So he's not doesn't he lose his status?
Is it Yaakov ben Shimon HaKohen, or is it Yaakov ben Shimon HaKohen? Now it makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right? That's such a crazy case.
No.
Right, so you've got to.
Mm-hmm.
I know plenty of people who that.
But hold on, what do you
my chavrusa in ninth grade, a very dear friend of mine. I remember we walked into class and we were doing Makos, and the first Mishnah in Makos is about a ben grusha ben chalutza. If someone claims that a Kohen's mother is a, so the rabbi says, who knows what a ben grusha ben chalutza is? And this guy raised his hand and said, that would be me. And he. Yeah, and the Rebbe said, you don't know what you're talking about. He said, no, Rabbi, you don't know what you're talking about. And he was right. He was the answer to a great trivia question. Him and his brother had the same mother, the same father. One was a Kohen, one wasn't.
They divorced and they got remarried?
That is correct.
Oh, wow.
They got married. They had the first brother, got divorced, got remarried, and had the second brother.
But divorce counts in that case if you remarry the same spouse.
Yes, it does. That's why in Kohanim in particular, we tell you better think hard before you do this, because unlike other cases where you can always change your mind, in this case you can't.
So
the question is, right? So in general, Hakohen, Hakohen Harosh, is that going on Ezra, who was the son of, and he was the Kohen Harosh, or he was the son of, but I want a Kohen Harosh. That's what I have to figure out here.
Like 5 Pokemon ago that we mentioned Ezra, like it just doesn't seem to make sense that we would then say Hakohen Harosh.
Well, I mean, there's no reason why we split this into 5 Pokemon, right?
But Kohen Harosh in general is not the title we use. It suggests some type of administrative position.
I don't know. It goes like, you know, the big kahuna.
Maybe it's like COO.
Right. Grand Poobah. Capo de tutti capo, you know.
Even the word Hakohen Harosh near Aaron, he is like the Rosh.
He is the man.
Yeah.
Well, there's no comma between Aaron and the chief priest.
Well, that's a fair point. If they wrote it that way in the English translation in the Jerusalem Bible, I don't know how I could possibly argue with that. I'll just fold up and go home.
So are you debating whether he's a Kohen or are you debating whether he's a head Kohen?
I'm debating whether he's a Kohen Gadol.
Kohen Gadol.
So if you look at the Shema Gadolim is written by the Chidah, Chaim Yaakov David Azulai, who was a Kohen himself. In fact, the word Azulai indicates that it's
Sephardic.
Yes. He was a Sephardic, but we'll quote him nonetheless, because we're open-minded here.
We are open-minded.
We're very progressive.
My cousins Azulai.
Right? You know what the word Azulai means?
I don't.
It stands for the words Isha Zona V'chalala Lo Yikachu.
What?
Which really? Is?
For those of us
not
fluent in.
Marsha?
It's not
in Aramaic. That's
right.
That's a good
response,
Marsha.
It says in Parshas Emor regarding Kohanim, Isha zona v'chalala lo yikacha. V'isha grusha me'isha lo yikacha. A Kohen is limited that he cannot marry a woman who is a zona or a chalala. So that's what, they took those names, those that Rashi Tevis, Isha Zona V'chalala Lo Yikachu, this is the rule of a Kohen, so that's how they got the name Azulai.
Wow. Wait, so what is the answer for how do you call up your classmate to the Torah?
What? At this point, we don't call him up, unfortunately.
Can I ask a question about the man who divorces?
You should know, by the way, it happens to be a very interesting question. It comes up every Hanukkah.
Why
right.
Hanukkah?
Alanis Vahibi May Ben. Keep on going. Who is? Stop. Who is the Kohen Gadol? Matisyo or Yochanan?
I don't know.
It's like that book in Happy Birthday. I've always thought it was the
modified. Let's eat grandma.
Yeah.
I always thought it was.
You'll figure out what you thought it was. What?
I thought it was Judah Maccabee's father.
Right? Again, but Judah Maccabee's not playing here. It's Matisyahu ben Yochanan. Right?
Okay.
Yehuda was not invited to this game.
Right?
He doesn't make it to the Alanisim. Right? So this question, this dangling, what is being modified by the Ben, right? It's not that crazy of a question. And it comes up, more than you would expect.
Wait. I want to ask about the man and the woman who had a son.
Mazel tov.
The Kohen who divorced her and then remarried her and has a son.
Mm-hmm.
So the second son is
not a Kohen.
Not a Kohen. But when he gets called to the Torah, is his father called HaKohen?
What? So the minig is not to. So this friend of mine, it's interesting, I was at his wedding. And I was curious, what are they going to write in the ksuba?
Right.
There are many different opinions what to do, right? They can write, Matisyahu ben Yochanan, Sha'aviv Kohen. And you write in such a way that the general rule is, however, if in the ksuba, if someone's a Kohen and you leave it out, that doesn't make a problem. So therefore, I think the minhag is to leave it out.
It
so this friend of mine, he also happened to get married twice. And so
not to the same woman, though.
No, but he could have.
If you divorce.
His son was a student of mine recently, actually.
Also, isn't there a way to say who was a Kohen? I mean, if you're going to put lineage in, he was.
No, he never was a Kohen.
Not the son, the father.
The father's still a Kohen.
He still maintains that title.
Right.
Okay, well, I thought.
Yeah, so-and-so HaYisrael being so-and-so HaKohen.
Well, that's what I'm asking in the Ketubah.
Right. Yeah, these are tricky questions.
So
let's get back to our good friend Ezra. We've waited so long for him. It's a shame to ignore him. So the Chidah in the Shema Gedolim writes as follows. Kosef HaRambam, Ezra Sofer Mahir HaKohen HaGadol. Muchuk She'Ezra HaYaKohen Gadol. The Rambam says that if you look at the whole picture, right, it seems that he was the Kohen Gadol. The Kachal HaZazel Chibur of Mishneh Torah, the Shimon HaTzadik HaYaKohen Gadol Acher Ezra. It says that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol after Ezra. What does that sound like?
That he was the Kohen Gadol.
Mashal Haya Ezra Kohen Gadol. Onam Razal B'Medras Chazisa Ve'vi HaRash Beisper B'Reish Pirush HaLavos Amad Ezra Lo Haya Kohen Gadol V'chein Mochicho Kroy. But he, on the other hand, says, no, the Tashbates disagrees and says that he was not the Kohen Gadol. Mishmochi ani hadal b'pesach einayim meseches para. Kasati efshel lidochik d'mashkos haram me'akdamasov Rabbeinu Avadya bereish perakavus shimotzak kohen gadol acher Ezra. Ain't really Ezra kohen gadol, right? I can turn around and say, Ari Berman took over as president of YU after Obama was president. That's a true statement.
No, okay. After the fact, not necessarily because of the fact.
Meaning that like, one has nothing to do with the other, right? That doesn't mean that Obama was ever the president of YU. Right? Right? So that's what the argument is. It says, yeah, Shimon HaTzadik came to Kohen Gadol after the time of Ezra. Yeah. That doesn't mean that Ezra was the Kohen Gadol before him. So that's what the Chidah is arguing. The Ezra HaRosh Kasud the Shimon HaTzadik Yahweh. Ezra was the leader at the time, so if you want to get a time period, you go with that after the Hasofer administration. Ezra Kohen Gadol. He said, but the truth of the matter is, if you look closely where he writes elsewhere, it seems the Rambam did think it was the Kohen Gadol. You know, as much as I try to the Chidah says, I tried to sidestep it. No, I can't. He held that way. So there's a Medrash that says not that way? Yeah. Not that impressed by Medrashim. The Rambam Vade Matzah Rezal, he must have his own self. Yesh Misha Sove, the Ezra Yekon Godov, Olof Somach, Uvasre, Gorer, Rabbeinu Avadya. So the bottom line is he says that he is of the opinion that he thinks that the Rambam held, and he agrees that Ezra was a Kohen Gadol. The Chasim Sofer does not agree, right? So he says, "The Rambam, the Einu Roy, the Kohen Gadol, Kalim Yeshbo Shnei Nashim, Vim Haya Gadol Me'achah B'Chachma Kacha Shiismano Hu Yigarish Ishta Rishona Olai Nimna B'Kohen Gadol Mimenu Hakotam Mimenu Kim Shu Einu Roy Rishasev Kasev." So for Zichronos, Ech Niskain Yoshua ben Yehotzadok B'Kohen Gadol, Bnei Malachi Zeh Ezra, Shehoya Gadol Mimenu, Ef Shemitam Hanan. So he asks a strange question. He says, wait a second. How was Yoshua ben Yehotzadok, the Kohen Gadol here, if Ezra was a greater Kohen than him? So he said, it must have been some other issue. Maybe he had two wives. He said, it can't be a Kohen Gadol with two wives, he said, and that's probably why they didn't choose Ezra.
And was it greater in terms of lineage or in terms of like erudition,
I imagine. So it sounds to me that the Chasim Sofer thinks that Ezra was not the Kohen Gadol. Because his question is, why did they choose that other guy and not choose Ezra? So it seems that he didn't choose Ezra. He's making an assumption here.
Right, I was going to say, this is the first time I've heard about it.
And where is the prohibition against the Kohen Gadol?
Again, the Chasim Sofer has this idea. Now, there are situations. So, the Gemara talks about the following case. A Kohen can't marry a divorcee. A Kohen can marry a widow. A Kohen Gadol cannot marry a widow. What if a Kohen who's married to a widow gets bumped up? So, in fact, option one is wrong and option two is wrong. We allow him to keep her. In that case, if he had her beforehand.
And then gets bumped
so
up.
She's grandfathered.
Grandmother,
The Catholic Church does that. If you're married to someone and then you want to become a priest.
This is beyond my...
I have no idea.
But based on this, holding back the not the wives that he had, clearly the Chasim Sofer is assuming, not like the Chidah, he's assuming that he wasn't the Kohen Gadol, because he asked the question of, why wasn't he the Kohen Gadol?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't there something about with the Kohen Gadol, he has to make the bracha for himself and his bias. So doesn't he have to have a backup wife? His first wife dies before he does the avodah. So doesn't he have two wives? I'm confused.
So I
interesting.
We'll hold off on that for now. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of Cohen Gadols with two wives. Right? That's really far afield.
Okay.
Interesting. The Afarsaka de Eina takes issue with this question. He says, "Eich niskan Yehoshu ben Yosef be Kohen Gadol b'fnei Malachi ze Ezra sheye Gadol mimenu." Ukim da chasim sod Ezra rotzer garish ishto harishona. Right? He said, "Ne dochi ktsas." He said, "V'ranar havi asti shop." The issue of the Ezra norid me'almana. Ela de be'emes ein lono la'achvi ha'racha api tamei ha'mitzvos etc. K'moshe kosted the mitzvah zar Kohen Gadol mitam ze. So he's suggesting that maybe it's a problem if someone was born, a Kohen born from a widow cannot become a Kohen Gadol. And that was Ezra's problem. But again, he's agreeing with the idea that Ezra, I don't want to get into the rules of who can be a Kohen Gadol, who cannot be a Kohen Gadol. But the bottom line is, the fact that we are dealing with these issues, we're showing that we don't think that Ezra was a Kohen Gadol. Which is all against the Rambam, which assumed that he was a Kohen Gadol. Right? All these people who keep on asking, why wasn't he a Kohen Gadol, are assuming that he wasn't a Kohen Gadol.
Right. The fact that he's called the Sofer
has nothing to do with this.
No relevance. Okay.
Now, if we just want to get a little weird here, because why not?
Because until now it's been very
straightforward, yeah.
I don't know. Again, you know, there are a lot of people who held he was a Navi, even though he wasn't called a Navi. Right? That didn't bother us the first time around. You know, it bothered the Barbanel, didn't bother the Tosfos, clearly. After all these weeks of waiting for him.
I still don't know.
So the Chomas Anach. The Chomas Anach, again, was written by the Chida, another sefer by him. This is his parish on the Navi, and he writes as follows. Masha Krozi, Yir Vekodish, Mein Maram Zakut Zal, Bagosa Besefer Shemin Sason Besofa Sefer, Mishum Rabbeinu Ha'arizal. So now we're calling the Arizal, so you know this is. Aaron HaKohen Nizgalgal Be'eli HaKohen, Ube'oven Avodah Zara Hayachayev Skila, Uchein Venitabev Mafrakto. So he says that Aaron HaKohen was Oved Avodah Zara. With the Cheder Egel, that is correct. He made the Avodah Zarah, right? He was responsible for it. Therefore, he came back as Eliyah Cohen, and Eliyah Cohen dies by cracking his neck, which is the death penalty for Avodah Zarah, which is Skila. And then he came back as Ezra, as a Gilgal. This is a Gilgal of a Gilgal. Zoom, Gilgal, 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 Zoom, Gilgal. Shehaya gam kein kohen, v'shom nitakin, ad kein divrei ha'arizal. When he came back from Ezra, then everything was good. So again, Aaron had to first become Eli, and then he became Ezra. V'ani kabalti shalchein lo espar likonis la'aret, ki yoda shi'ikonis es Yisrael achar kach. So the Maharam Zakut and said, that's why, unlike Moshe, who tries to get into Israel, we never hear Aaron trying to get into Israel. Because Aaron knows he's going to come back as Ezra and he's going to lead the people into Israel at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. V'asher zeh remez hakosu po Aaron HaKohen HaRosh. This way it says Aaron HaKohen HaRosh. Hu Ezra, lomar. Shenizgalgo Aaron HaKohen bo v'nokad hu Ezra, alav ha'sholom. L'ramos ki gam le'eri וזה תם הקוסר אחר כך כי באחד לחודש החמישי בו ירושלים שהוא יום פטירס אהרן הכהן. So we're about to see that in fact he's going to show up and lead the people into Israel. He's going to show up in Yerushalayim on Rosh Chodesh Av, which happens to be the yard site of Aaron HaKohen. So now we have Ezra who might be Malachi, who might be the Kohen Gadol, and he might be the second coming or third coming of Aaron HaKohen. Welcome, Ezra. We've been waiting so long for you. Now we can start the parak in earnest. So who Ezra? Allah mi bavel, v'hu sofer mahir, B'toras Moshe, asher nosan Adonai Elohei Yisrael, v'yitim lo hamelach yad Adonai Elohav olav, kol bakash asom. So there, now he is the first time that he's referred to as the Sofer.
And the Ezra.
Right? Ezra has Sofer, correct. He's referred to that here, right? We know that. He was a Sofer Mahir B'toras Moshe. Asher nosan Hashem Elohei Yisrael. What do those words mean?
Quick.
My hair is quick, right? So he's a quick sofer?
That doesn't sound right.
So let's try to figure this out.
So it came up quick?
It says here ready.
What?
It says here he was a ready scribe.
A ready scribe. Yeah. And does that mean?
It's what?
Mahir, not Mahir.
What does Mahir mean if not Mahir? It means ready. What does that mean?
Eager.
So JPS translates it as skilled.
Okay.
Interesting.
So, if you look at the Medrash in Koheles Rabbah, has an interesting statement. Rabbanu Maisel min Hacha ben Avishua ben Pinchas ben Elazar hu Ezra ola mi Bavel. Ela olu ha'iru haya Aaron kayim haya Ezra gadol mi menu b'shaito. So the Ezra was greater than Aaron, the Medrash says. What does it mean that he was a sofer? So the Gemara in Chagiga says, "Haya sofrim kol osio shabatorah." He counted all the letters in the Torah. He wasn't a scribe; he was the count. You know why they called him the count?
He liked cookies.
Because he loved to count. What type of education did you have, young This idea of Ezra HaSofer is really expanded on in Gemara in Sanhedrin that we have to go through. So this is actually fascinating. Tanya of Yosef Omer, Roy Haya Ezra Shetinosein Torah Yadol Yisrael. Ezra was so great that it weren't for Moshe Rabbeinu, he would have delivered the Torah to us. Yomel Alo Kod Moshe, but Moshe came first, so we already had the Torah, so what are you going to do? But Moshe who Omer, Moshe Ola El Alokim, it says that Moshe went up to God by Ezra. What it says, by Ezra, who Omer? Who Ezra? Allah mi Bavel. Ma Aliyah ha'omer kan Torah, af Aliyah ma'alan Torah. Just like going up means to get the Torah by Moshe, going up the Gemara says means to get the Torah also by Ezra. But Moshe who Omer, osi tziva Hashem ba'esa hil lame daschem chukim u'mishpatim. So you see the Gemara saying that there's a lot of parallelisms between the Pesukim that we have by Moshe and we have by Ezra. We're
going to
see
it. Going to Bavel going down, not going up?
No, it's north.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritually.
No, he's going up from Bavel.
Oh.
Right. From Bavel, parents
is okay, I get. Yep. All right, I didn't read it that way.
Rafa Plishon Nolita Yado Nishtan Al Yado. So even though he never got to give it, he changed the Torah. What? Carl has that look of shock in his face. Shock and awe.
Where did he change the Torah?
What do you mean? Yeah. Hanishton Kosev Aramis Metagim Aramis Ksafs Gloke Halin Kosev Mikra Pshar Hodir Malka. He says when the Torah was given over, it was referred to as the Mishneh Torah. What's the Mishneh Torah? It means the Torah that was going to change. What changed about the Torah? Well, so what happened was as follows. He said originally the Torah was given to us in Ksav Ivri, and now it's written in Ksav Ashuri. Right? Ancient Hebrew it was, and then he switched it from ancient Hebrew to the modern day Hebrew that we now have.
The characters.
Correct. I mean, like, Noach was Noach, not those characters.
No, but I mean, the not letters. The language. The
letters. Lamed called Ashuris, right? Why is it called Ashuris? Sha'oli Hebe Ashur, because they brought it from Assyria. Tanya Rebbe Omer, Betchilo Bekasov Zer Nidnu Torah Yisrael, Vekevin Shechotu, Nerpach Zer Lor Roetz, Kevin Shechazubem, Herzirulem. Another opinion is no. Originally, when Moshe gave the Torah, he gave it in Ashuri. At some point, it got switched to Ivri, and then it came back.
Okay, so
So different approaches to what this is, right? Other opinions say no. It says Ben Rabbi Lezer Ben Parta Sha'amar Mishim Rabbi Lezer Hamodoi, right? Cost of zero nishtano kol ikar shenemar vove amudim ma amudim lo nishtano afar vovim lo nishtano. Mama al Yehudim kiksavim rishonim al rishonim lo nishtano af ksavim. So it's a machlokes. There's a machlokes as to whether the Torah was written in Ashuri and Ezra switched it, or was it always written in, was it written originally in Ivri and he switched it, or was it always written in Ashuri? So that is a major question here. Now, therefore, if he was the one who changed how you wrote the Torah, it would be sensible that you would call him the
scribe,
the sofer. So we have here that we now he's referred to as Ezra HaSofer, and one of the potential reasons is because he changed the alphabet, which is a pretty big deal as deals go. Okay. Pasuk Zayin, Vayol Mimne Yisrael Minakonim, Vahalavim, Vahamashorim, Vahashorim, Havanasinim, Yerushalayim, Bishna Sheva, Achartashamel. So he shows up and he's got some Kohanim and some Levim, and now he's just any Levim. There's two types of Levim. There are Levim who sing, and there are Levim who actually take care of the gates. So he brought both of those. Very interesting. The word Salvatric means?
Keeper of the gate. I don't
know. Nightingale, correct.
Nightingale?
Nightingale. As in Florence. Why were they referred to, why were they called nightingales?
They were singers.
They were Levim, so they had a tradition, they were from the singers. One time I spoke to Avraham Soloveitchik's son-in-law, and he said they have this tradition, but I've heard them sing. I imagine they worked on the gates. What?
So to the family,
you couldn't mix and match, you had to be one or the other.
One or the other.
No,
there were no singing gatekeepers.
A person had to be one or another, or the whole
family had different jobs. But yeah, so it came in the seventh year, as we said. Vayavo Yerushalayim b'chodesh hachamishi hi shnas hashviyis l'melech. He shows up on the fifth month. What's the fifth month? Av. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. Av. That's where we are right now. Ki be'echad ha'chodesh ha'rishon hu yusar ha'malo mi'bavel be'echad ha'chodesh ha'chamishi bo'al Yerushalayim ki'yad elohav ha'tova olav. He left on Rosh Chodesh Nisan and he showed up on Rosh Chodesh Av. And we said, you know, that might be important because he might have some special relationship with Aaron HaKohen. So some, according to the Arizal, He was the reconstituted Aaron HaKohen. Ki Ezra heichin levavo lidrosh es toras Adonai v'rasos lamid Yisrael chokum mishpat. Ezra had already worked on himself. He wanted to study the Torah, right? Very much so. Ezra, that's why he waited until now, and he wanted to teach it. V'zeh parshegen hanishtavan asher nasan amelach archartashter Ezra HaKohen haSofer. Sofer divrei mitzvos anoy v'chukav al Yisrael. And this is the letter that was given over to him. If you take a quick look at number 19 on the source sheet, I know it's a little bit of a longer source sheet, but you know there's a lot of introduction we had to do. But usually we would have done this at the beginning of the book, but we didn't have an Ezra at the beginning of the book. We had to wait for him to come. See, well, Ezra coined Sofer, Matamo Sofer, Ela Kishem Shaya Sofer, B'divrei Torah, Kaliya Sofer, B'divrei Chachavim. He said that he was generally a wise man. Not only was he wise in Torah, but he was wise in other types of knowledge as well. Catching up a little bit, number 20, Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmanim, Im Kavanto Libcho Betfilotei Mevusesh Tiyosah Nishmas Rifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says if you have proper kavana, when you learn Torah, God's going to listen to it. As we say, as it says, Hakshiv Oznecha, Veshamata Shemayim Tfilosam, Bechinu Omer Ki Ezra Heichin Revavo, Vayitin Lo Amelach Ki Yad Hashem Rekabarov. Says that he went and he prepared himself, right? He got what he wanted. So therefore, if you prepare yourself and you daven properly, you will in fact be successful.
So he was a teacher of Torah.
Yeah, not a bad job.
No.
Yeah, you know, get summers off. Achatash noch ma chayre Ezra Kahanas Safar dasa ki arosh maya gomir v'chanos. They said in the letter, Achatash to the king, to Ezra the Kohen, who is the sofer. Mini sim teim di kol misnadev machusi min amo yisrael v'chanay v'livay v'mahach yisharayim imach yahach. Go take whoever you want that's from my nation, right? Kohanim, Leviim, whatever you need, and take it with you. Malbim comments on this in number 21. He says, "Mani sim ta'im mibnei shebepkuda rishona shenatz on korash rishus v'nei agol aleches yishraim be'er hatam kshu k'dei rivnos sham es beis Hashem." So he says, originally when Cyrus told the people they could go, he said, you can go to build the Beis HaMikdash. We assume, according to that, once it's built, no one can go anymore. That's the end of the immigration. The MK, Achrish Nishlam, Binyan, Abayish, Nishlam, Apakuda. It's done. Not the lawyer, Rishus Lahagolim, let's say it's Meretz Shavim, the lawyer, Rishus Meyuchel, okay, Nostan, Rishus Mechadash, Shakom, Mishim, Mibnei Shoshi, it's not, let's say, Simach, Yeshli. So in fact, the reason that we have another permission given here is because the first one probably expired when they stopped building the Beis HaMikdash. The Rinas Yitzhak, that's Yitzhak Sorotskin, right, Telzer, comments on this, and he says,
modern.
What?
More modern.
He is more modern, correct. So he quotes the Malbim. Now, the Malbim isn't that long ago, so if he's commenting on the Malbim, he's got to be pretty recent. So he quotes, Mashmer shalom nosan reshus legerim la'alos, v'chein mashmer da'ma d'ksiv v'pasak zayim, v'ayel v'bnei Yisrael, v'ilu v'pkud rishon v'shnotan kulam reshus l'bnei agola, alech yishchayim, v'vnos beis Hashem, gam ha'gerim ha'yu v'chal, k'ksiv l'mala, v'ayim b'malbim, v'tzarech iyan. He said, it's interesting. And this time he said, everyone can go. Yisrakom, Levim, Yisraelim. But it sounds that only if you're Jewish you can go. You can't convert and go. So, interesting point. You know, worth considering. All right, so he says, you can call Kabaldi min Kadam Malka Vishivas Yatohi Shariach Vakra or Yahod Yerushalayim Bedas al Kochbi Biyotcha. He says, take everyone and do what you need to do in Yerushalayim. Lehevorek Saf with the Havdi Malka Vyasor Isnadav Allah Yisrael Dibi Yerushalayim Mishkanei. And I'm also giving you gold and I'm giving you silver and you take it with you. And you do what you need. V'chol k'safet d'hov di tishavchach v'chol medinas bavol misnadvus amu v'kainu misnadnu l'beis alohan divi Yerushalayim. And everybody should also donate money towards this very important thing. Give your gold and silver. Kol kabel d'na asparna tikne v'kaspa d'na turin d'chrin imrim v'minchoson v'nischechon v'tipkev himo v'minchoson. And take also whatever you need in terms of animals, right, and goats, great, whatever you're going to need, take it with you, Ezra, so you have enough. And I'm telling you, do with this whatever you find necessary. I'm not giving you any specific rules. Ezra, you're in charge.
This is very generous.
It's very generous. Right? If you'd like to give us a few minutes to the East Denver Orthodox Synagogue, we'd be happy to talk to him. Maybe you'd like to be honored at our next gala event. Go and finish up whatever work it is you have to do. The Ramban makes an interesting comment on this. In number 23, it says, V'agolim b'shas churban nigalu l'shivim shal churban. So he says that, yeah, we went into Golis for 70 years. We were there. We went back, and then all of the Kerem came back also. So he says, in fact, he's saying to him, take all the kelim with you as well. whatever we have, any gold, any silver, any from the time of Esther, etc.
Why is he so generous?
Huh?
Like he's expecting something.
To see. Well, according to some opinions, right? Remember, this is Esther's son.
Right. That would make sense.
Anything else you need, go take it. And in fact, here is my letter from you. Whenever you're passing through any towns, if there's anything you need, they should give it to you. Obviously, Ezra is particularly close with this king. And he gave over to him 100 kikar of silver. Right, we said a kikar is, I think we said about 57 kilograms.
Talents is what I get.
Okay, so that's
a
talent.
I don't know what the weight of that is.
I think we generally assume it's around 57.6 kilograms approximately.
Okay.
He says, take that and huge amounts of wheat and whatever else it is, right? He goes on, you need oil, you have wine, whatever. Salt, take it. So why should your God be upset with me? Whatever you need, just take it and we'll all be happy. So he says to him, go and take it with you. Let's just, there's actually, this word minadobolo, little confusion what it means. The Gemara in Baba Basra discusses it. So Rav Nachman bar Chazda, Roma Karga Arabanam. Right, so Rav. So it says, so Rav Chizda actually taxed the rabbis. Now, you don't tax rabbis, right?
Parsonage, correct.
So you violated the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ksuvim by taxing us. What's that, Ksuve? They say, Minadah below, V'holach ho'shalit l'mir ma'olah. They say, Minadah, Mizeh, Minas ha'melach, below, Zekesa, Golgolos, V'holach ze'arnunah. He was saying here that all three types of taxes, whether it's the sales tax, the income tax, the estate tax, the rabbis don't pay that. That's what it says here. That's the answer. Tosa says, So he was saying that the people that were building the Beis HaMikdash, in order to encourage them to do that, were given exemptions from taxes. And so too, people that are working nowadays, in helping the Jewish community also should be exempt from taxes. So in fact, that's what's going on here. There is an exemption of taxes in order to encourage people to do the work. Also, hereby give you permission to appoint judges along the way. They have permissions to do with the judges whatever they want, including killing people. They can do capital punishment. Boy, we are lucky that we have a king that is supporting us this much. So Ezra said, once I had this, I went and I took people and I was on my way. What?
He switches to first person.
Correct. So, it's clear from here, by the way, that Ezra wrote this.
Right.
So again, we will discuss at some point, but not now, that Ezra, undoubtedly wrote this part of the book. Book of Nehemiah is a different story. We'll end with Rav Schwab's comments on Ezra and Nehemiah. He says, Ezra assembled leaders from among the people to join him, and what he expected would be a mass aliyah of all Jews from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. We read that these leaders represented all of the 12 tribes. You see that. Ezra's use of the word hischazakti in the reflexive mode conveys another deeper idea. Ezra had to summon all of his inner strength to overcome what turned out to be a great disappointment to him. As the leader of the Jewish people and their officially sanctioned return to Israel, Ezra expected the entire nation, at least the vast majority, to follow him and return to their homeland. However, most of the Jews were blasé about Koresh's invitation and remained in their diaspora homes in Babel and elsewhere. This was undoubtedly a great disappointment and a source of frustration to Ezra. After all, the mightiest king of the world invited the Jews to return to their homeland with full honors, yet the majority of the Jews throughout the world did not respond to his disinvitation. Had the entire Jewish people, or even a majority of them, heeded the call, this would have been ushered the Messianic era. Through Bavel, a scion of the house of David would have become a Shiach, to which the Navi Haggai had alluded. But tragically, this did not happen, and Ezra was deeply disappointed. Nevertheless, he accepted the reality of his mission, and his chizdati strengthened himself in it. So here he was, everything was falling into place, but somehow or another, it just didn't work out.
Maybe when the majority of Jews are in Israel today.
We'll see. Hope.